You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Pastor Jim is teaching verse by verse through the book of Luke. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to worship with us, we have service times and directions available on our church's website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim in today's study.
And so he goes out and he's on his own, and he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, there's an anticipation, and we'll talk about that briefly today, but there's an anticipation that something's coming. There's a Messiah on the way. There's an anticipation about it. And so they come out to hear John, and they, as the people gather around to be baptized by him, as they come out to him, he says, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." Kind of an interesting way to start off, don't you think? How do you think that would fly today? You know? I don't know that John the Baptist's message is really that kind of a popular way to handle things in our world today. The way, you know, we've got all the, you know, let's be user-friendly or friendly about everything, and let's make sure we don't say something that's going to offend someone or get them all freaked out about sin or anything like that, because, you know, that's really not going to attract people and so on. I love John the Baptist because he didn't care. Why didn't he care? It's not because he was rude and didn't care. It was because he had a heart for the things of the Lord. Man, we get way too absorbed in what people might think. Man, please just take a moment and look into other people's eyes just for a moment and realize there's a person behind those eyes. And there's a destiny behind that. There's everlasting life for those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's everlasting separation. Man, you know, when you see that and you recognize that, it changes your perspective about other people when you're in contact with them. It doesn't matter whether you're on a high school campus. It doesn't matter whether you're at a junior high or grade school. It doesn't matter whether you're on a college campus. It doesn't matter what the political climate of the country or nation is. It doesn't matter who anybody is. It doesn't matter what color they are or what their background is. None of that matters. Behind that, those eyes, there's a person there that's got an eternal destiny. God's desire is that they would have fellowship with Him and have everlasting life. That's God's desire. That's what He would want. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I love this about John the Baptist, that he doesn't mix words. They're strong words. Again, it's not the most, you know, popular message, and it's certainly not the most user-friendly. But John's very to the point, and he's very clear about it. You know, I think this about Jesus oftentimes when he talked to people. He spoke right to the heart. When he talked to the woman at the well, he talked to her. Yeah, he interacted with her, and he built a bridge, and he definitely, you know, got some kind of rapport with her. I agree with that, and I think it's marvelous to watch that, how that dialogue and how Jesus did that. But then he knew exactly what was going on, too, and he didn't mind going right for it. He brought up this thing about her husband, and she said, "Well, I don't have a husband." "Well, you know, not right now. You've had five. And the one that you're living, the guy you're living with isn't your husband right now." Man, Jesus went right for it, didn't he? Did he go all user-friendly about it? You know? He says, "Man, you know what? You can drink of the water of life. This well, you're going to be thirsty again after you have some of this water, but you can have everlasting." You know, just brought her right into that point, seeing the need that was there. This is kind of John, he just goes right for it and just says, "Man, what did you come out here for? You know, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And then he says to bear fruits worthy of repentance. In other words, he's talking about living a life that's set apart to the things of the Lord. And he says, don't get caught up in this religious idea. I like how he brings this out. You know, this whole, hey man, I'm okay. You know, my name's on this baptism sheet over here. Or, you know, I'm a member of this church, and my grandparents remember that church, and my parents remember that church. And, you know, and they were deacons and elders and this and that. And, you know, this is really what he's saying to them. He says, don't rely on that stuff. You know, because their whole connection is, hey, we're connected to Abraham. He says, hey, great. God can raise up children to Abraham from these rocks. So we've got to do it. Again, is that really all that super, you know, embracing and, you know, let's all feel warm and fuzzy about it? He goes right to the point, says what needs to be said. You know, don't get lost in the I'm okay. You know, how many times do people talk to us and maybe share with us as we're Christians and we're, you know, maybe traveling or we're at a workplace or we're in a market situation or wherever we might be, anywhere where we are, and we're interacting with them and they kind of just say to us, well, you know, it's obvious, you know, that you got religion and I'm glad that religion's worked for you. And, oh man, I am thankful for every opportunity that's said to me. I welcome that. Because I never got religion. I don't want religion. I have nothing to do with religion. Religion's not what I'm into at all. Please, I welcome that one. I didn't get religion. Religion doesn't save people. Jesus saves people. Religion doesn't do it. Religion is man's efforts to try to attain, to make ourselves right before God. That's man's effort. It's futile. It's pointless. It's not going to happen. It is, as we learned on Wednesday night, just dead wood. It's nothing. But Jesus Christ is the one that has the power to save. He's the one that gave His life's blood. He is the Son of the living God, and He resurrected. So there's a big, stark difference between religion. And John really, in a simple way, kind of calls that out. In verse 9, then goes on and says, "And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And so, you know, the Pharisees and the religious leaders got what he was saying. They got it. They knew what he was driving at. You know, that, hey, that's already been cut down. You know, that's not going to be, because he just is done talking about this religiosity aspect. And he says, hey, man, the axe is right on the root of that one. It's about done. And the people ask him, saying, "What shall we do then?" Now, John just gives some practical things that he was talking about fruits worthy of repentance. You know, he says, you know, this is what it would look like. You know, if you're really having interaction based on love and you're really following the things of God, this is what it would look like. So he kind of gives us a practical example of what this would play out like. He answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." The tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." So stop being an extortioner, you know. Stop trying to take advantage of people and just get what's right, get what's fair. And that's it. Don't no more, no less. And I think this is good. You know, we saw Jesus ultimately end up using a lot of these examples, really. When he talked to Matthew and the tax collector, we saw him use this kind of an example. We see Jesus using these kind of things, even as the soldiers. He says, likewise, the soldiers ask him, saying, "And what shall we do?" So he said to them, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." In other words, you too, don't try and, you know, push to get more from people and, you know, and this kind of thing. And so these are examples that are kind of practical ways that love would play out if we've really made contact with the living God. And now, as the people were in expectation, which we talked about, and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not. Hey, is this, you know, is he the Messiah? Hey, this guy, this gal, they seem pretty spiritual. They seem like they've got something figured out. Let's get down to where you live. Where I live. Maybe some people think, hey, well, you know, you things are going okay. You know, they seem to have some information about God. You know, they seem to be plugged in. John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You remember that humility of John the Baptist in John 3:30, where he says, I must decrease, and capital H, he must increase. You know, I need to decrease. It's not about me, and Jesus needs to increase because it's really all about him. He says, there's one mightier than I is coming and whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He's, I'm not even worthy to get near his feet, basically. It's that total humility that John the Baptist handled himself. But he says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with the unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. This is kind of brings up an interesting thought regarding John the Baptist. What was the grid, if you're willing to use that kind of a term? What really should we be pressing things through? What did he press things through? He really knew that it wasn't about him. You know, and I'm thinking a lot of times we kind of get that up here sometimes, and sometimes it filters into our hearts, or maybe we kind of know it in our hearts, but it doesn't always filter into our heads, and it sometimes doesn't quite come out the way, and the response in our lives isn't the way really we might be seeing in our mind's eye or really knowing it in our hearts. But we got to get all those things going in the same sync. Got to get things working in conjunction with one another. Because when you look at John the Baptist, he was clear that it wasn't about him. That it was to be, he was to be pointing to something else, someone else. That he was to have this further direction out there. And that everything kind of needs to go through that grid to find out what it's really all about. Let's just turn a little bit further over into Luke 24. Just turn a few pages over. Luke 24, verse 25. And he said to him, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. You remember this is on the road there as they were heading to Emmaus, and a couple of the disciples were there, and they didn't really know that it was Jesus that was with them, and you remember that story. And Jesus begins to really reveal who he is. He says, O foolish ones and slow of heart, or heavy-hearted, you know, could be another term, burdened, you know, weighted down, you know, that's kind of the intent. You and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures. So this is from Genesis all the way through Malachi, basically. He's expounding to the, what a Bible study. I can't wait to get to the other side and kind of get that one on instant replay. You know, you imagine Jesus talking to these guys, revealing himself through all of the Old Testament. John had some insight. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about him. It's all pointing to someone else. Happened to be his cousin, Jesus, the Messiah. It's all pointing to him. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So when you and I get in a spot, what are we to do? The same kind of a thing. We're to go to the scriptures, and we're not supposed to be taught. If you get lost talking about your willpower over how you got victory over some situation, you've missed an opportunity, because the other person might be weak and they might say, you know what? That's great for you. I've got no hope. You know, we've got to get this through the grid of the person of Jesus Christ. Everything's got to go through that grid to get it to press out and turn out to be it's about him. Not about us. John got out of the way. John the Baptist got out of the way and got to the point that they might be able to see Jesus. He understood. He's not even worthy to loose his foot strap. I must decrease. He must increase. He's clear on that. If you go on just a little bit further in verse 32, and they said to one another, this is after this had happened. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? A little bit further over in verse 44, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning who? Me, Jesus said. It's all about Jesus. From Genesis through Revelation, it's all about Jesus. The thought is that when we're engaged in interaction, we need to be realizing that God will use your life and your life circumstances and experiences, and that's awesome. But we're to go back and make sure we press it through that grid of God's Word so that we can see a connection between God at work in your life, God at work in my life. As individuals, husbands, wives, you know, young people, don't hinge this on your parents. Don't hinge this on your spouse. You personally should be running things through the grid of God's Word and seeing things play out that tie in to God's Word. If it's not tying into God's Word, maybe quiet dismissal might not be a bad plan. Let it go. Maybe it doesn't have much to do with God, and we need to just let that go. But man, look at things. I love this with John. John did not get all caught up with, you know, this whole thing of, because the total counsel, really, of God's Word is that not only is it brood of vipers, what did you come out here for, you know? That's the start of it. But he ends it right, doesn't he? He goes, man, it's all pointing to the person of my cousin, Jesus, the Messiah. He gets right to it, doesn't he? He gets to the fact that he calls them out for what they're, you know, what they're all about. They're caught up in their religion. But he gets back to the person of grace and mercy, Jesus, the one who's going to die for the sins of the world. He gets to that. He gets right to that ultimately. And I think that should be our goal. Ultimately, leading people to the Word which points to Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul was very clear in Romans. Faith isn't built up by just seeing some miraculous thing transpire. That's not what it says. That's awesome, but that's not what it says. That doesn't say that's how faith was built up. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what we want to share. That's what we want to expound on. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. But Herod, in verse 19, the tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, you remember, they were one. You talk about dysfunctional. Man, study those guys. Wow. They were freaks. Absolute freaks. There's no getting around it. There's no calling it anything. There's no way to try and make that sound nice. I mean, they were freaks. They're very commingled. A lot of incestual stuff going on, and it was just craziness. The dad had a dozen wives. These guys got connected up with their sisters, half-sisters. I mean, it's just crazy. And then swapped. It's wild. So I'll let you study that on your own. That's enough to get you thinking about it. And wow, they were really, boy, you want to read about dysfunctional. Study that for a little bit. You'll probably feel great about yourself when you read about that. You know? You want a real esteem builder in our world? Read that. So, as we go through this, we see that these guys were just, and this really, John, again, called them out on that. Said, hey, man, you know what? You've got your brother's wife, sister. What's going on? You know, he called them out on this at one point. And then that got him thrown in prison. And you remember after he got thrown in prison, what happened to him? They're having this big party. One of the gals is, you know, doing this, I don't know what you'd call it today. I thank you, God, that I don't know what you'd call that today. But anyway, kind of some very lewd, licentious, you know, dancing thing. And, you know, he's all excited about all this. And he says, man, up to half my kingdom, man, is yours. Whatever you name, whatever you want, you know. They're all partying and carrying on. And now he's put himself in a bad spot because all the other rulers are hanging out with him and stuff. And he's already came out of his mouth. And now he's got to stand with it. It's just because he kind of he liked John the Baptist in a sense. You know, he'd go talk with him and interact with him from time to time. No, man, the gal says, yeah, you know, her mom tells her, yeah, you know, tell him you want John the Baptist's head on a platter. And then he got beheaded and that's how it happened. Tragic. Bummer. The Herods were a weird bunch of folks, man. And this is the end result of that. Also added this, above all, that John, he shut John up in prison. So this is where how he ended up there. And when all the people, in verse 21, were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. Now, do you think that Jesus went out to be baptized just for his own, you know, cleansing or something? See, that's a misunderstanding. It was for an identification with you and me. He got in line and waited till everybody else was done, and then he came out and got baptized to identify with us as the Son of Man. He was identifying with you. He was identifying with me, and he was showing us that public confession, if you're willing, or public profession. And he was giving us some, and doing this as an example, really, for us and for our benefit. And as this happened, as he was baptized, the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. Isn't it great how we end up with the Trinity right there? You know, the three in one right in front of us as we watch the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. And we've got the Father saying, you know, out loud saying, you are my beloved Son, the identification that he is the Son. And in him, I'm well pleased. And so we see all three. You know, some people question the Trinity and stuff. Well, it's all right there for us. And this comes up throughout Scripture over and over again. The triune Godhead, man, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the Word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you. And maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith. And I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship. And it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to him. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me. And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life. And I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart. And I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com. Or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.